You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, queens, hey!
Oh my god, guys, we have got something really cool for y'all today, and it involves our girl, Olga of Kiev, Dracarys.
Yes! We're hoping y'all will enjoy this excerpt from our friend's show. The show is called My Worst Date, and this podcast is three friends who are personal friends of the show, and they get together and talk about relationships and dating disasters.
Yeah, we got to meet Keegan, Cassie, and Christine a few years ago at a festival here in Austin. And we're not joking, y'all, when we say that they were three of the coolest people we've ever met in the world.
Yeah, so we think you're going to love their style, their entire vibe. And this episode, they talk about, Nathan, how funny is this? They play Marry, Fuck, Kill with their favorite holiday cocktail recipes, which I thought we could get behind.
Yes.
They read listener submission, dating disasters, and
they talk about taking revenge to the extreme with Olga of Kiev.
Love this for them.
If you want to listen to the full episode, it's in the show notes, so check that out. And we'll be back with our regular scheduled program in 2 days with our latest episode.
So enjoy. Cheers, bitches.
This is My Worst Date. Oh, yeah. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
What's up?
What's up? So I think we did get a suggestion for Fuck, Marry, Kill. Am I making that up? In that somebody texted us or something.
I don't know, but here's the thing. We do have a Thanksgiving tradition on this show. We did our favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we did pies.
We can do fall cocktails. And not necessarily like alcoholic too. It can be like apple cider.
Our Thanksgiving cocktail this year that we're going to have, because we discussed it, and we were like, let's have like a Thanksgiving cocktail, because for Christmas, we always do mulled wine.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's do hot apple cider and bourbon.
Yeah.
So that's my Thanksgiving.
We'll be over.
Cocktail this cool. year.
You'll be like, knock, knock, knock. Hi.
Hi. Well, just actually, your husband, Cassie, Chris, he made this freaking delicious. He makes kind of the same thing, but a cold version with like Angry Orchard cider.
Yeah, like a cider, right.
Cold cider.
Is that what he made when you guys came over? That one was good.
With bourbon and cinnamon, and it is also delicious.
Yeah. And it's got like an apple garnish.
Yep. Mm. Yum. I'm going to go with spiked cider for mine.
Okay.
Spiked cider. Okay. I know this is like Christmassy. I kind of love it though. I'm going to get shit on so much for this.
Unpopular
opinion. I know how it's going to be.
Spiked eggnog.
I knew it.
I fucking love it. I love it. I make mine almost like a white Russian though. Only instead of milk, I use a little bit of the eggnog.
I don't think you'll get shit on for that, because I feel like eggnog is polarizing in that people either don't like it or they fucking will die for
it. It's kind of like it is what's the candy?
Candy corn?
It's the candy corn.
But I feel like more people like eggnog than candy corn. To be fair,
Yeah. No,
like,
totally.
But I'm surprised by that. So you put vodka in yours? Like not rum?
Yeah, I do like rum with eggnog, of course. That's classic.
Yeah.
But it was a couple years ago, I was like, oh, I wonder if I made a white Russian, like vodka Kahlua, and used the eggnog instead of the milk, it would taste incredible. And I'm here to tell you, it does.
I believe you, actually.
Yeah, it does.
I have to go with a classic child-like thing for myself, which is hot chocolate. I think hot chocolate with like the little marshmallows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like my... I don't know. That just kind of reminds me.
Put some alcohol in it.
What alcohol would you put in a hot chocolate?
Bailey's?
Bailey's.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Can't do that.
Oh, right, because it's cream.
Oh, no, you can't do that, can you? You know what? Honestly, I feel like you could probably put whiskey in there a little bit.
That's kind of where I was thinking, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hot chocolate, spiked apple cider, and eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think mine is going to be the easiest to come up with because I'm going to have to kill eggnog.
You can't have it.
For the obvious reasons.
Yeah, you guys are bad for each other.
Yeah, oh,
toxic.
That's the thing, though. It's like, here's the thing. I love it. It hates me actively. And it's such a, it's really a toxic thing.
It's a fully toxic relationship.
You know what? Sometimes you have to cut toxic relationships out of your life. I support that decision.
I've had to. And, I am going to, I think I'm going to marry hot chocolate. It's safe.
Classic.
It is Chris of the beverages that we've come up with. It is a big warm bear hug.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes you feel safe because you can like just revert into childhood and feel safe and comforted.
I'm going to fuck with that.
Spiked apple cider.
Yeah, spiked apple cider.
Spicy.
Though. Ew.
Yeah.
Good. It's not good for me. No. But it's so good.
But you know what?
None of these things are good for me.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like none of these are really good for you. And at least the apple cider has apples in it.
Yeah. There. See?
Right.
I mean, it's actually a health drink.
Yeah.
When you put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a vitamin.
I'm marrying the apple cider. It's like spice.
Yeah.
It's going to keep things exciting.
So it's going to be a little bit exciting.
Oh, shit.
Now we're going to highway to the danger zone. I'm excited. I think that's going
to
be a fun marriage.
Dangerous. What the fuck is happening?
I'm going to fuck eggnog. And I'm going to fuck eggnog because he thick.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thick boy.
He thick boy. And I don't marry him because I too am slightly lactose.
We all are. Let's be real. Most people are.
And bloated. So I kind of feel like I would not be my best self with eggnog long term.
Right.
But a one night stand.
Yeah. How much eggnog? I mean, like, is it a daily?
Exactly.
You can't daily.
No.
Never.
And I just feel like I would get like tired.
Oh yeah.
Of it. You know what I mean? Like treat. It's a treat. Mm-hmm. It's like
it is not a daily
one night stands, but eggnog isn't someone you want to be around every day.
No.
You know?
Definitely. Oh God. Not.
Yeah, no. Oh. Yeah. No. Eggnog takes up all the space in the room. You know? And you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
We get it, eggnog. You went to Barcelona.
Yes, exactly.
And then it makes me sad because he is so nice. He's so nice, but I'm gonna have to kill hot chocolate.
Yeah.
You see,
I would friend it if we could. Oh, well, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Yes. And we're back. Okay, so I will kick us off with stories. This is another restaurant story.
I love restaurant ones.
I just really fell down that Reddit rabbit hole and I can't find my way out.
Cool.
Yes. Okay. So, restaurant story. I worked at a breakfast diner. A couple came in. I remember almost exactly what they ordered. She had oatmeal and a fresh fruit cup, and he had banana French toast, 3 eggs, sausage, bacon, hash browns, and toast.
Mm. I want his
his metabolism.
It's amazing.
I want his meal.
She got a mimosa too, and he just had a cup of coffee. Every time I went to check on them, he ordered something else.
Oh my God.
More bacon, more hash browns, etc.
Holy crap.
You're going to have a heart attack right there at that table, Winston Churchill. Okay.
Sir.
Fuck, my God. The average bill for two people at this restaurant was between $15 and $20. This, which is cheap.
Well, yeah.
With a mimosa in there? Yeah, okay. This dude racked up a $40 bill.
Holy.
Twice as much. The time came to drop it off, and I went back, and he said he forgot his wallet.
Okay.
So she put her card down. I went to the card machine, and it got declined.
Oh, no.
Which, is there a worse feeling?
Oh, God. No, than telling somebody that their fucking card declined? It's the worst.
Or hearing it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because that's happened to me, like, at the grocery store checkout before. And I'm like, I know I have money in there. And then you're trying to, like, defend yourself to the cashier. You're like, no, you're, like, looking up your, like, bank account. You're like, no, I know there's money in there. I don't understand what's happening. The worst. Okay. So I returned to the table and told her it had been declined. She called her bank and I assume they said tough shit. So then she said that she would call her mom for money to be deposited. The call got heated, so she stepped outside. No. I could see her pacing and crying out front. She came back in tears and said something to the dude. Then she left. I went over and said that he could run home and get his wallet. He looked at me and sighed irritably as if I had inconvenienced him.
Wow.
Then
wow.
he reached in his back pocket, no. threw down some cash, and left.
No.
He had this money the whole motherfucking time.
Motherfucker right wow. here. Mm-hmm.
It was a really small town, so this was the topic of discussion for a while with our regular customers.
Oh
good. Can my. You fucking imagine?
Oh my God. I hope that girl found out and just like
I'm sure she did,
roasted.
Small town. I'm sure oh, she did.
Dude, my anxiety level right now.
Who could watch someone go through that and just be like
a psychopath?
That is honestly that is truly psychopath. Concerning to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Like I feel a way right now that I can't describe. Like
she got off easy then, honestly. You yeah, know what I mean?
I hope she dumped his ass and didn't go back to him. I really do.
Am shooketh. Yeah. Like to me, that is one of the most psychopathic.
Right, because
shits.
he fully took advantage of her yeah. as well as far as like ordering. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like ordering as much as possible, having the money the whole time to be able to pay for it.
Saw her distress, mm-hmm. saw her crying, didn't do anything.
Right. I mean, honestly, look, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. But the second the person came and said, hey, this card is declined, you can be like, actually, you know, I have some cash in my pocket I totally forgot about. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah.
Don't know that I've been this disturbed by one of our dumbass
kind
date
of
stories
like a weird,
for a long time.
Weirdly upsetting. It right?
I am very weirdly upset.
Yeah. No, it's like, yeah. It's gross.
It is.
Bad guy vibes for sure.
I am. Wow. Okay. Sorry.
This one it got off of Reddit. I don't know why I think this is so funny, but I gave this guy a chance, even though I already knew I wasn't that interested. We went for sushi at the mall and had a pretty normal conversation. After we finished eating, he asked if I wanted to walk around the mall, and I said, okay. He starts talking about Star Wars. And I said, I've never watched it.
What?
And he was so shocked. So shocked. He said it was unacceptable and that we had to watch it together next time. I was like, I don't want to watch it, though. It's kind of a lifelong commitment I have to myself to never watch it. He was so confused and told me to follow him. So
oh,
I did.
Oh, no. He's got a whole fucking Star Wars shrine, doesn't he?
We ended up at a gaming store in the mall, and he showed me Star Wars merch, trying to persuade me.
Why would you think that would work?
Yeah.
He then saw a lightsaber and... I don't know, but he said he's never seen this in the store and asked an employee if there was one out of the box he could see. The employee said yes and showed him one, and he starts swinging it around hits a girl in the face. I have social anxiety, so I don't like attention being drawn to me or people I'm around. I pull the employee aside that helped him out, and I said, I want a first date with this dude, and I'm really not interested. What should I do?
Look, if you're at that level you're like, I'm willing to ask a stranger to help me get out of this.
I need help.
Like, you should just walk out the store.
SOS. The employee looked so uncomfortable and whispered, really? I'm not sure. Watched him play around with the lightsaber. And then he started asking the employee if he watched Star Wars. And he says he has. So they start talking about the latest movie.
I feel like you have permission to just walk out at that point, right?
I'm going to go find the bathroom and never return.
Just ghost.
I'm still standing there. And finally, I make an excuse that I have to go home and take care of my grandmother. And he says, walk me to my bus stop. I told him, man. No, it's really okay. He insisted, so I let him. We get to the bus stop, and he's still standing with me and smiling at me. I felt so bad and didn't know what to do.
No. We're not about to have a good night kiss at the bus stop. No.
He told me he had a great time, even though I barely talked. I followed that up with, I have to call my grandmother to let her know I'm coming home. I can't have you beside me if I'm talking to her. he said with a smile on his face. Okay, see you later.
What?
Later that
That's
night.
Such a weird excuse.
What?
Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, why? Like, you can't stand next to me. Okay. Sorry, I need you to stand at least 6 feet away. Social distance from me, please.
Later that night, I couldn't take it anymore. I texted him, you're a really sweet guy, but I don't think we're compatible. Do you want to be friends instead?
Oh,
he
no.
texted back a long text,
no.
basically saying I was like every girl who only likes guys for their okay. looks and that he didn't want me to be his friends because he has enough friends.
Okay, bye.
He thought I was different and nice, but that I'm actually a bitch.
Okay. Oh, you're such a nice guy. Thanks for calling me a bitch.
She says, I definitely am a bitch, but I was really nice to him. It was awkward. Anyways, a year later, I came out as a lesbian.
No, oh, there you go.
There you go.
Sometimes, you know.
But it's the whole, like, Star Wars thing.
It's like, no,
I don't, I'm not really interested
look,
in
and
it.
And you know what?
It's not for me.
It's okay. We all have, like, weird, quirky deal breakers.
Right.
It's okay if that's a deal breaker for him.
Right.
And then just walk away, dude. You're right. Like, it's all right. If you're with somebody who doesn't like something that you really, really like, then she ain't the one, bro.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There's somebody out there who is
into it. Ready to put on that Princess Leia costume in the bedroom for you, sure.
Princess Leia slave.
Oh, God.
Hate that.
Yep.
All right. So mine came to us from an email that we got, and I think it's especially very funny. Okay. So this isn't technically a worst date story, but it's one I think you gals will enjoy. One of my friends is very bougie, buys really expensive designer clothes and shoes. Big Carrie Bradshaw vibes. Anyway.
Wish I could.
Yeah. Same. Anyway, she was posting some stuff on Craigslist. Obviously, the first mistake. She put up some really cute Gucci shoes and got an inquiry pretty quick. I can remember the girl's name. I can't remember the girl's name, but let's just call her Jessica. So Jessica reaches out and says she's into the shoes, but has one request. She wants a picture with the shoes on. I would have blocked her immediately at that request.
Nope. Danger.
I love that our minds automatically went there. First of all, you're talking about Craigslist.
No, so like dirt of the earth.
Dude, so I get crime reports on my phone weekly for West Hollywood. I don't know why I'm like so obsessed with it. They'll tell you all the crimes that happened in West
Absolutely
Hollywood.
Absolutely fucking not.
So
my
apparently
girl.
There's been a spate of people who have gone around, been like, yeah, I want to buy that thing that you're selling or whatever. Uh-huh. They drive up, like they agree to meet up somewhere. They drive up and they just take the shit from people.
No.
And drive off. So we're talking like computers.
Wow.
And shit like that. People are just like, oh, yeah. Let me see it.
Money first.
Can I have your keys? You hand over your car keys.
Exactly. First. So selling stuff online, y'all be fucking careful.
I told my Craigslist story on here already.
Yeah.
Like it was not a good experience. So be careful.
I would have blocked her immediately at that request. She's not a bitch like me. My friend did think it was weird, but thought, okay, I guess I can understand that request. And she sends the photo of her feet wearing the shoes. Jessica loves them. And they make plans
to meet at a coffee shop
to do the trade. A few hours later, my friend gets to the coffee shop and is waiting for Jessica. She assumes, of course, that she'll recognize her as someone looking around for someone when they enter. 15 minutes goes by. No Jessica. My friend texts me at that point and is very annoyed and also wanted to tell me about this totally creepy old guy who looked out of place.
Oh, really?
Oh,
we laughed about it. 30 minutes go by. She texts me again and I told her just to bail. Bitch, time is money.
That's a good friend.
Next thing I know, she's calling me winded and I hear her hop into her car and slam the door.
Oh, no.
I asked her what the hell was going on and she told me this. She noticed during her time there that the old guy that kept staring at her was staring at her feet, but decided that the old guy was just creepy. When I told her it was time to leave, it dawned on her that old guy was staring at her feet the whole time and even licking his lips. She freaked so bad and ran out, leaving the Gucci's behind. Jessica didn't exist. She was literally catfished on Craigslist exchange for some old fart with a foot fetish. Sometimes
she left the Gucci's, honey. No.
Yeah. Get them Gucci's.
That sometimes, guy's gonna be doing some weird stuff to this
shoe. Oh, no. He's been fucking them shoes ever since.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Sometimes when we're on the phone, I like to just randomly say, hey, remember when you got lured to a public space for someone's foot fetish? We cackle every time. My dudes, don't use Craigslist. Wow.
Oh my God. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Look, and again, not to yuck anybody's yum, but the foot thing, I don't understand it.
I mean, that's fucking hilarious. That's just fucking hilarious. Yeah.
No, I just, you have to be so careful you're selling stuff, like as a female. Like she kind of did the right thing, you know, which is meet up in a coffee shop or whatever, but I'm not gonna sit around for half an hour waiting for somebody. Nah. You know what?
I guess it depends on how much. Yeah. On to the next. I guess that's true. Because I was going to say, well, maybe she really needed the money from selling the shoes. But like someone will buy those.
Yeah.
For real. Get a Poshmark, girl. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. Craigslist is not the way, kids.
Even Facebook Marketplace, I feel like, is probably better than Craigslist. Let's be real.
There's more of a trail and stuff.
Yeah. Ugh.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Hello everyone, it's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
Okay. I'm really excited about this one.
You've been excited for like a week. I still haven't picked mine yet.
I have been. I picked this one like a week ago, and it's another history lesson.
Ooh.
Which you know I love a history lesson.
We haven't had one in a while.
That's true.
And for this one, we are going back.
Oh, shit.
Back farther than we've ever gone back before.
Oh, shit. I'm in a history mood.
Is this in the Bible?
No, it's not in the Bible, although I'm sure there's some good ones. Oh, I know there's some good ones in the Bible. Ooh.
There's tons of crazy.
Let me tell you this biblical story.
I mean, but we're close. Okay. But we're close. Okay.
Oh, shit.
So
Cleopatra.
We're getting... Oh, no, but good one.
It's been on my list for a while.
We are getting in the way, way back machine, and we are going back somewhere between 890 and 925 AD.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I told you we're going back. So it was so long ago that people aren't 100% sure of the year, but
you know it was a long time ago when they give you like
a range,
a huge range. Span. Yeah. They're like, I don't know,
somewhere between these 100 years ish.
One of the wildest things I learned in history was like with the fall of the Roman Empire, it only took 80 years for people that were settled in the shadows of the aqueduct to literally think that the people that had built that had been aliens. Like they have forgotten all of it. 80
what?
Years. In that
damn,
span.
Dude.
Isn't that crazy?
It's because people died at like 40. So they were like, no one was alive 80 years ago. I don't know.
My grandma was dead before I was born. So
Aliens.
So I do want to say I got the idea for this from listening. I'm trying to catch up on my podcasts because I've really gotten far behind on all of my podcasts. And, I got this idea from Noble Blood. They did an episode. So good. And then I got a lot of my information from historyanswers.co.uk, a Factinate article, and then Wikipedia, because look, guys, I didn't have a lot of options here. There wasn't a lot.
Also been fucking obsessed with history lately. I told Cassie this earlier because I've been binging The Crown.
That's what I've been watching. We'll talk about it.
Princess Di. Anyways, we'll get to that. Okay. Yes. I'm so excited.
You know I fucking love history. I love it. Okay. So it was around this time between 890 and 925 AD that the future Grand Princess of Kiev was born. So Olga was born to a noble family, but who were distant cousins to the Kiev monarchy of sorts. I don't even know if they called it a monarchy at that point, but basically like the king and his homies. So when she was around 15.
I love that album.
Yeah, King. The King and His Homies. Oh, you know.
So good. What a good band.
So when she was about 15 years old, her father and the father of Prince Igor, the first of Kiev, arranged a match. And
honestly, 15. I mean, old maid, can we say?
Like, for this long ago, I'm surprised it wasn't like 12. Like, yeah. For real. Like,
for real.
True.
Yeah.
It was a very like fortuitous match for both of them. It's like she was beautiful and young and really high society.
Am I going to be able to find pictures of these people?
You will find paintings, and she looks how you would she does look like. Okay. I'll talk about it at the end.
Okay.
So, not a lot is known about the couple or their marriage, but it appeared that they had a pretty amicable relationship. I mean, as far as marriages back then were concerned, where it's just like usually open animosity or just like a business arrangement.
Or like a 12-year-old with like a 6-year-old.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a business arrangement, right? And so typically there wasn't a lot to be said about like their actual relationship. But as far as marriages back then went, like it seemed like these two actually kind of like liked each other. Got on fine, like things were good. They seemed pretty happy with the match, and not long after they were born, they welcomed their son, Sviatoslav. That's how you say it, Sviatoslav. Right.
I'm all like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they basically, they had their heir. They secured the Rurik dynasty. So, the way that this thing worked was, Igor ruled the Kievan Rus, which is like a large area covering what is now Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus.
Mm, damn.
Yeah, like not the whole thing, but areas of those three areas.
Okay.
And his people had basically gone in and they'd conquered a bunch of neighboring tribes until they had control over the whole region. So one of these tribes was called the Drevlians. And the Drevlians and the Kievan Rus Empire had a really complicated relationship. They had a good relationship with Igor's predecessors, but for some reason, they did not like Igor very much. So after the death of his father, they stopped paying their tribute, which is basically taxes, to the Kievan Rus Empire, and instead started giving money to a warlord in the area in hopes of kind of like throwing some kind of coup, right?
Oh, shit.
And the custom at the time was for the ruler to personally like ride from region to region, tribe to tribe, collecting tribute like from each of these tribes.
Amal, you don't got people for that?
It's kind of weird to me too, where I'm like, why do you have to go yourself? But I don't know. I've seen Braveheart. I guess they did it there too. Basically, going from tribe to tribe, collecting tribute. And since the Drevlians weren't behaving properly, they weren't acting right, Igor decided to intimidate them by coming with like, his full army, like large army, basically to pay, like force them to pay tribute.
Yeah. So, he's like, bitch, come correct.
Mm-hmm. Bitch, better have my money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not here to play with you fools, okay? So he arrives and the army did its job. They intimidated the Drevlians. The Drevlians backed down and they paid Igor every penny of their tribute. They're like, here's everything we owe you. Have a good day.
Yep.
So he's like, good. That's what I thought. So he leaves with his army. They begin riding home. But then Igor is like, you know what? These little shits haven't learned their lesson. They think they're going to rebel against me. They're going to rebel against me. I don't fucking think so. They need to learn a lesson. So he took a very small.
I feel like this is going to go bad.
He took a very small group of people with him. He told the rest of his army, like, you guys go on ahead. I'm going to go back there and I'm going to make them give me more money. So he goes back and he demands that they pay him more tribute. He's like, you guys haven't learned your lesson. You tried to overthrow me. This shit is unacceptable. You need to know who's boss.
Dude, my insurance company tried to do this shit with me this week because they fucked up. And I was like, nah.
Not today.
Not today. Dude, Eric saw full on like Christina talking to customer service.
Oh, damn.
So we finally made it through that hurdle because I get very heated.
He's just looking at you from the kitchen like, babe.
Yeah.
You okay? Everything all right?
Everything all right? But yeah, moral of the story is like, that's not my problem. I pay what I owe you. That's it. You can't come back and be like.
Basically, the Drevlians said the same thing. Oh. They were like, absolutely.
Christina is actually a Drevlian.
Yeah, and, yeah.
We've not ever discussed this before.
They were like, look, if we let you get away with this shit one time, mm-hmm. what's to say you're not going to come back and do this shit again?
That's
absolutely
right.
Fucking not. Not today. Not on my watch. So they put him down in a brutal fashion. So according to a Byzantine historian, they bent down two birch trees. This is a quote. They had bent down two birch trees to the prince's feet and tied them to his legs. Then they let the trees straighten again, thus tearing the prince's body apart.
I don't think that's how science works.
I don't know.
I don't mean to get weird here, but I'm just saying, if you can bend it down, I feel like it's not going to rip him apart.
The Bible stuff and some of the deaths that happen in historical times, I think, are so creative because what the fuck else was there to do?
Were they watching The Crown? Somebody was standing on that hill like a week before and they were like, you know what? It would be an interesting way to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And then they had the opportunity and they're like, let's try it.
I feel like if you can bend it down.
Well, depending on how tall these trees are, you're talking about a force going in opposite directions.
Exactly.
I feel like we
need to CSI test this shit out.
What is that Mythbusters? They should do it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like,
Can this do this?
I feel like also when I was reading about it, look, and there is some speculation. It was so long ago. Yeah, of course, there's speculation about legend and what really happened. Mm-hmm. But this was a historian who documented this. And they do say, I mean, it's a lot. It's not like one person went over to this like fucking Charlie Brown tree and pulled it to the ground. It was like a lot of people. It's like the whole village gathered to pull this tree down, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Look, I don't need your skepticism this early into the story, we're going to have some fucking problems, Cassie. Okay.
All right. I'm going to suspend disbelief.
I just need you to go along with this.
Aliens.
All right.
Dude face is dead.
Okay.
Dude face is dead and it's not pretty.
Okay.
That's all you need to know. Here. All right. So when the news arrived to Olga that her young husband was murdered.
And she got a tweet.
Yes.
Is an actual pigeon. So.
He did. That's it. It's said that her grief was profound. Like, she really did grieve the loss of her husband. All of a sudden now she's like a single mom, a widow, right? She's upset. Mm-hmm. Her son was only 3 years old at the time. So Olga stepped up as regent of Kevian Rus. She's like, I am going to rule Kevian Rus until my son is old enough to take over. So after the death of Igor, the leader of the Drevlians, whose name is Prince Maul, which is actually true, which is
Prince
kind
Maul?
Of weird because
like fucking like Star
Darth
Wars.
Maul?
Yeah, because Maul doesn't, it means like bad or evil in like
M-A-L
Latin.
Does.
M-A-L, yes. Yeah. That's it.
Oh.
Prince Maul, M-A-L, okay. Yes.
Shit.
And damn. That's his actual name. It's recorded.
His parents were like, we see.
Yeah, we don't know about this one.
I don't know about this one. Maul, bad.
You bad.
After the death of Igor, Prince Maul devised a plan to take over Kevian Rus. After
did
all,
you make this up?
I swear to God I didn't. I swear to God I didn't. I swear to God. After all, a woman could surely not rule such a large empire. He was like, look, this little lady is going to need some help. And we just showed everybody who's boss by murdering her husband.
Just gave myself a headache by rolling my eyes too big.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so he sent 20 of his noblemen to Olga to try and persuade her to marry him. And, you know, this guy had just like murdered her husband.
Yeah.
And so these guys show up and they're like, hey, we know we just killed your husband terribly, brutally. Mm-hmm. But you know what? you could use some help right now. So why don't you marry our prince? He's soups chill. You guys would be
Sounds
happy.
Chill.
Whatever. And she was like, okay. Yeah, sure.
Bring him here.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So she smiled. She thanked them for their gracious proposal. And she told them, you know, like, after all, my husband is dead. He's gone. What's in the past is in the past. And we have to be looking towards the future of Kevin and Roos. So, yes, that sounds like a great idea.
She's going to red wedding him.
She's like, why don't you guys go back to your boats for the night? And then come back tomorrow. We have a ceremony here in this part of Kevin and Roos. So when you come back, allow my people to carry you in on your boats. It's one of our greatest honors, like a palanquin or whatever that is, you know, where they carry them in. She's like, so you go stay the night and come back tomorrow for a feast and I will formally accept your proposal. And they're like, okay, sounds great.
Oh my gosh, she's actually super nice, yeah, like, right? Like, actually, I thought she was really going to like be upset
nervous,
about this.
But like,
oh
my actually, God. She's like
really open to
pretty
it.
Pretty cool. Like, yeah. I don't know. I kind of like chill. Her. Yeah. She's prettier in real life. So
she's not as big as she looks in the films.
So they returned to their boats. They stayed there as instructed. And, you know, I just picture her like smiling, like she's waving. They get over the hill. As soon as they get over the fucking hill, she tells her servants, she's like, work all night long, dig as big of a trench as you can dig. They dug this massive pit, right? This enormous pit. And the next day, the Drevlians allowed themselves to be carried in on their boats, as she had instructed. And she had her people dump them into this enormous trench.
Bye.
And then she ordered them to be buried alive.
Dope.
And it's,
this bitch
and
is
it's
like,
written,
nah.
Yeah, she's like, not today. And it's written that Olga bent down and watched them as they were buried and, quote,
waved.
Inquired whether they found the honor to their taste.
Ooh, damn.
Shit. She's cold-blooded, but we're not done.
Shit.
We're not done. This was not enough revenge for Olga.
Mm-mm.
So she was fucking pissed. She wrote a letter to Prince Mal telling him that she was considering his offer, but that she was insulted that he had not sent his best men. So she asked that he send their, quote, most distinguished men so that she might go to their prince with honor. Unbeknownst of the fate that had befallen the ambassadors he'd sent before, because this took fucking forever for like info to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Mal sent another party of his very best men, top men, to Olga. When they arrived, she greeted them. She's like,
bitch, you best come correct.
Yeah. She's like, I hope you had a good journey, but I know it was a really long journey. We'll have tea or whatever. But before you can have tea with me, you need to bathe, basically. She's like, you got to take a bath, get clean.
In this
relax.
Lava.
So she led them to a bathhouse. And when they entered, she locked them inside and set the doors on fire and burned them alive.
Damn. So close, Cassie.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lava.
And rather than wait for any other Drevlians to arrive looking for their lost men, Olga took her army and her 3-year-old son and went to them. And since Sviatoslav...
I feel like war's not the best place for a toddler.
Well,
I mean, I'm not a parent.
I mean,
so...
Well, you know, he's
not to speak for other parents here.
He's got to learn to rule someday, Christina. Like, come on. Like, you got to see what it's
first
like.
War.
Yes.
His little t-shirt.
Well, kind of. Okay, because here's what happened here.
He's so, a little ornament
little,
for his Christmas tree.
Little 3-year-old Sviatoslav, right? He's technically the grand prince. So Olga had a tiny, so cute, a tiny bow and arrow made for him.
Oh my God. And
how cute is it? How
so cute.
It?
So cute. So she
has little armor.
Little helmet.
Because I love it when babies dress like humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, or well, like adults.
When they are
adults,
humans.
You know what I mean? They're wearing like grown up clothes. But can you imagine like all this, like a baby in like
no,
890s?
He's
like,
on like a little Sebastian, like a tiny, tiny horse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So cute. Okay. But okay, so she gives him the tiny bow and arrow and she leads him onto the battlefield and she helped her son shoot the first shot because the prince is supposed to shoot the first shot. And so technically...
Keegan, you made this story up. This is the most
fake-ass.
No,
I didn't. I didn't.
I I've ever heard.
Multiple sources say this. Listen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the siege lasted.
My grandma told me this one story.
I swear to God.
Aliens.
Google it. Grand Princess Olga of Kiev. Okay. So the siege lasted all summer, and there was very little progress made because the city was really well defended.
Do you think that the other army was just like, oh my God, look at this cute little
boy. Oh my gosh, he's so cute.
I would be like that. Oh God, that is so cute.
He's a little pony room. And his little pony. You guys are taking the brutality completely out of the story, like, entirely.
Sorry.
It like, is so far,
a
we've had people,
baby bow and
we've
arrow.
We've had people split in half by birch trees, buried alive and set on fire. And you guys are like, oh, it's a little baby. Little baby.
Fake news.
So the city was really well defended. So Kevian Rus was able to cut them off from all trade, but they weren't really able to like get into the city because the city was so well defended. But it left the Drevlians in a really terrible position because they couldn't access anything. So everybody inside the city walls after 3 months, this went on for 3 months, this bitch's vengeance, she was like, I have never seen a more vengeful person. And actually in some...
By the time the war ended, the baby was now like 42 months old or something, right? Whatever they do, like with months.
Like, I also had read, there were a couple articles that were saying that she was one of the inspirations for Cersei Lannister. And I fucking see it because like...
That's awesome.
She I was, love this now.
She was just like,
I... You should have led with that.
Wow, okay. So after 3 months, the people inside the city were starving and they were just ready to be done with this whole thing. You know how townspeople are. They're like, we didn't even fucking start this shit. Like, it wasn't our idea to like kill her husband. Like, I'd love for this to be over now.
I actually thought her husband was really nice.
I actually really liked him. You know,
the ladies who are like sitting around together sewing.
He was so handsome.
You know, I actually thought he was a really nice guy. I've heard really good stories.
I've had nothing but cabbage soup water for like 3 days.
It's really not good with my constitution.
So knowing that they were ready to be done with the entire thing, Olga signaled to the Drevlians that she wished to speak to their leaders. So she told them that she forgave them the death of her husband and that she wished to end the fighting in the interest of the people, right? Because they're her people too. Mm-hmm. And all she asked was that they prepare great quantities of mead on the hill where her husband was killed so that she could have a ceremony of sorts, right? And properly mourn him weep over his
grave. I'm worried, Cersei.
I know, right?
The Drevlians were like, yes, finally, thank you. Oh my God. Anything to end this, right? So they gathered their best mead. They went to the hill and they waited.
I'm nervous.
And they waited for
Olga.
And
then that little baby showed up with his tiny bow.
And they were like, yes! They waited and they waited for Olga to arrive. But it was taking them for fucking ever. And so as they waited, the army got thirsty. The army was like, look, we've been here waiting for fucking hours. They're not coming. We have all this mead. Let's just crack a few open, right? Let's just have a few drinks while we wait, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they looked down on their village and it was burning.
Eventually, they drank so much that they were all wasted, right? It's late at night. They've been there all day.
4:30.
Yeah. 4:30 p.m.
PST.
But it's late at night now. They're all either wasted or passed out because like they've fallen asleep. They've been there all day. So with the Drevlian defenses down and some of the army passed out on the hill, Olga ordered her army to attack because now they're not in the city walls. Mm-hmm. They're out. They're unprotected. So they were massacred. Everyone in the army was fucking massacred by her army. She's destroying every single person in this town.
You'd think that her husband was actually her brother.
So the war was won at this point, right? The army is destroyed. Olga's army had effectively destroyed them. But one thing remained. And this whole thing had started, right? Because the Drevlians had refused to pay their tribute when Igor had asked. So Olga told them that if they gave her tribute now, she promised she would return home and leave them alone. And they were like, please, whatever you want, just take whatever you want and get out of here. We have honey. We have furs. Whatever, just go away.
Yeah.
Olga told them that she understood that they were strapped for cash because of the siege. She's like, I know you guys are in a shit position. I'm an understanding and merciful leader.
Oh my God.
So she wouldn't ask them to spare their most pricey possessions because she knew that they were going to need those things in order to get back on their feet when this was all over. Mm-hmm. So all she asked for was 3 pigeons and 3 sparrows from each household. The Drevlians were like, whew.
Who's
what
got
a
6
relief.
Fucking birds in their house?
I know, like, no one. They're going out catching birds. They're fucking like, everybody's out like, oh, shit, that's my bird.
Like toilet paper.
Exactly. They were like, we can manage that. Don't worry about it. So each house gathered their offering. They presented it to Olga. And true to her word, Olga took the birds. And she was like, bye. And she, like, headed out of town. The end. Just kidding.
What? Okay. I was like, wait, I have so many questions. No. What is she doing with that many birds? How many households were
they? Why do you need
what
so many birds?
What container did they put them in? Well, are they alive or dead?
She's killed a lot of households at this point, so there probably weren't that many.
12 birds.
So she was not done.
What?
Shocking.
This is the fake newsiest of fake news stories I've ever heard.
So fucking dare you.
I love it. I'm not saying I don't love it. I love it. This is my favorite. I wish this was a bedtime story. I want to snuggie up with my little snuggie pillow and my kiki. And you just tell me the story because this is amazing.
I need the children's best episode version.
This is the best episode we've ever had. This is my favorite.
I really want to see the illustration of like baby Stannis.
Oh, God. Sviatoslav. Yes. Stannis. Olga and her army. So they took the birds, right? And they marched until they were just out of view of the city. So everybody was like, she's finally gone. Amazing. Right. But they were basically like just on the other side of the hill. And then they stopped and waited. And then they waited for night to fall. And that night, her army tied a piece of sulfur on the foot of each bird and attached a long piece of cloth. When she gave the signal, the sulfur attached to each bird was lit on fire. And then the birds were released. Olga had deliberately chosen pigeons and sparrows for their unique ability to find
their way home.
So when the birds were released, they headed straight back to their nests.
Keegan.
In the home of the Drevlians.
Fake news.
The trees went up in flame, and soon the entire town caught fire. She burned the entire city to the ground.
Damn. Dude, that's Cersei's wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she destroyed the entire city. And as people fled, she had her army capture them. And the captors were either killed outright or she gave them as slaves to her more loyal Kevian Rus territories.
Wow.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Prince Maul was killed. And from then on, the Drevlians never again.
Wait, so they didn't get married? Just kidding.
Plot twist. They actually fell in love.
Yeah, she's like, saw him and was like, she's like, this is a meat cute.
Actually, he's real hot. Like, he looks like Jason Momoa. She's like, this is fine, actually.
That's exactly what I'm seeing here. This is Drago.
Yeah.
Drago?
Drago.
That's why I said
Cal. That's what we all said. Yeah. So because of the circumstances of her husband's death, Olga would go on to establish what would be considered the first Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, damn.
So instead of the leader traveling from...
This bitch.
It took a fucking woman, right, to be like, why the fuck are we doing it this way? This is so stupid. So instead of the leader traveling from tribe to tribe to collect tribute, she created a system in which the land was divided into districts, and each district had their taxes collected by a certified board or agent. Women, we get the job done. Am I right?
I know.
Okay.
Always.
So later in her life, and this is the most baffling of this entire thing to me. Later in her life, Olga,
this is the most baffling. I can't wait. Mm-hmm,
Olga would convert to Christianity.
I mean, that tracks.
And she was the first. She was the first Kevian Rus royal to do so. So because of her efforts to bring Christianity to the Slavic people, she was made a saint in 1547 by the Russian Orthodox Church and then the Roman Catholic Church. Olga is the saint of this widows and converts.
Fucking tracks so hard.
And her picture. Okay, hold on. I'm going
to
pull
you up. Guys, on. I swear to God, this is the most last podcast on the left version of this episode we've ever done. I don't know that any of us have ever had so much input
but
to talk about.
This woman, if she doesn't look like she would murder you and your whole fucking family, look at her.
Oh, she's the goddamn.
Like, she Damn. Looks like she would kill you for real.
I want a portrait like that made of me. That's yes. the most and, badass portrait I've
and
ever
even
seen.
This one, I'm like, there's something in her face.
She's gonna kill you.
I'm like, yeah, she would she kill
crazy
you
eyes.
And she would not think twice about it, like, at all.
Please send those to me.
Yeah.
Oh wow. My
so yeah,
God.
That's the story. Look, you don't fuck with her man. You don't fuck with Olga's man.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh,
I heard that. Wonderful. I heard that on Noble Blood. And I'm like, if we don't fucking do this.
But honestly, like, dude, when people fuck with Chris, I see you get fucking crazy eyes.
Oh, no.
Imagine if people
split him in half.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Like, you wouldn't.
And then came to you and was like, would you marry me?
Wait. I wasn't on board with any of this until you brought Chris into it. Now I'm ready to fucking kill a village.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, because, but also here's the thing. I don't know. Like, do I think that she would have gotten her revenge? Sure. I don't know that she would have done what she did if they hadn't. You're gonna murder my husband, and then you're gonna add insult to injury. You're gonna insult me with this fucking offer in my house.
We're talking about, like, you know, 9th, 10th century, where, like, women are considered, like, the weak. You know what I mean? Like, so there has to be part of it that just be like, let me show these fools what they're up against.
Right.
Because I'm going to set an example of these motherfuckers, mm-hmm. and ain't nobody.
And they will
talking.
Never do this shit again.
Never.
And I,
nobody.
Who do you know that's Drevlian?
That's exactly right. That's why when you said that Christina was Drevlian, I'm like, probably not. Them gone.
They gone.
They cannot live here no more. For real, like, I think that is
scorned.
A big part of it. One, it's a woman scorned. Two, it's a woman in charge. And so she got the note early on that people mm-hmm. are going to come in. These men are going to come in. They're going to try and take over your shit. Mm-hmm. So in order to stop them from ever thinking they can do that,
she's
you're
going to
put them
pigeons.
Fucking down. We're going to burn your city to the fucking ground. And even after Sviatoslav grew up and took over, he basically co-ruled with Olga until she died. And the people of Kevian Rus were like, yes, because they loved
his
her.
His earliest memories are seeing his mom go, like, fucking waiting to exhale on a whole fucking town.
Right.
And so he's like, you think I'm going to piss off my mom? No, thank you.
No.
And it's what the people
best
wanted.
Child ever.
You know, the people were like, look, say what you want about Olga, but she gets shit done. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we like having her around.
I actually got a new slave, a new Drevlian slave.
Yeah, they're like, so things are pretty good for me. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but.
Wow.
Wild.
We wow.
I was thoroughly
How
enjoyable.
Am I going to make up a story as good as Keegan's
How
story
very
making?
How dare you? I wish I could write a story that
God
good, dude.
Damn.
That's, yeah. Dude, George R. R. Martin wishes he could write a story that good.
He kind of did.
I know. I'm still
waiting. Actually,
still
that's what I'm
going to
come back next week and just tell you the story of fucking Game of Thrones.
It will literally be an 11-hour long podcast.
Let me tell you about this wedding, guys.
You're not going to believe it.
You won't believe what happens at this wedding.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? The thing Ooh. Is, like, as out, I like, look, yeah, of course, it's a legend, and like, there are things that probably didn't happen there. But the truth is, like, people were fucking brutal. And like, mm-hmm. the way that people tortured each other back then are things that like, we can't even comprehend. Like, that medieval torture shit is like wild.
I'm telling Joseph's Technicolor dream coat next week. I just want to keep getting further and further in history.
There we go.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
Ooh. I do want to say before we talk about what we're watching, we are
drinking
our usual wines right now. Like, this,
I love it.
You have our ads. You've heard our ads. You know, like, you've heard our ads. This isn't an ad. This is just like, we're sitting here drinking our usual wines, and this shit is delicious, actually.
It's pretty good.
I'm really like considering doing a lot of my gifting with them because I really enjoyed that red wine.
Yeah.
You liked the Brut.
Yeah,
right?
I'm doing the Brut right now, which is the good.
Nice.
Delicious.
Mean, you really can't go wrong. Like,
and these bottles, they're like little beakers.
We were
just
classy.
We're just drinking them out of the bottle.
I feel like I'm drinking an experiment.
Yeah.
I love
it. A very, very good experiment gone well.
Yeah. So this is your ad that's not an ad, but just letting you know that, like, authentically, genuinely, I actually really like this. So
Yeah. Usualwines.com.
So I am watching The Crown.
So did you start from the beginning?
I did.
Or are you just,
I started from the beginning.
Oh, my God.
And I had watched it previously. I started the first couple of episodes before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is because I love, you know, I fucking love an English show.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe I was in a weird mental space the last time I tried to watch because I couldn't get into the first couple episodes. But now, ooh, I am almost done with season one and I am in it.
Vanessa Kirby as Princess Margaret is my life.
Amazing.
She is amazing. Claire Foy is amazing.
I love Claire Foy.
Philip. Claire Foy is incredible.
What is it about Matt Smith? Because like he
so
seems
hot.
Like, what? Yeah,
I don't get it.
It doesn't make sense. It's one of those like things where I look at him and I'm like, he has no business.
And they're like being this chemistry or whatever, and her getting him to kneel and all. And I'm like, and the costumes and the scenery and
I just watched
so
the
good.
Episode where like. She's coming into her own, right? And like, he's like, something's different about you. You look taller or whatever. And he's basically like, I don't think you should go to that meeting. And basically is telling her like, I want to fuck. Mm-hmm. And he's like, either I'm going to need some stilts to reach up to the heights of my new woman, or she's going to have to get on her knees. And
get
I was
stilts,
like,
bitch.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I was like, oh my God.
And thinking about, you know, Queen Elizabeth taking a dick in the mouth. I mean, that's... But
that's what they were alluding to. I mean,
yeah, pretty much. I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
Ooh. Season two has been one of my favorites so far. Number one, because the boy that I like is in it.
Matthew Good
plays the photographer that Mary ends up marrying Princess Margaret.
But
Olivia Colman as the queen, she has been fucking fantastic.
Dude, I just got goosebumps when you said Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman can do no wrong.
Literally,
I've never seen her in anything.
I swear to God, Broadchurch is maybe one of the best shows I've ever watched.
Yes.
She's fucking priceless.
This is a woman who has tons of awards, including an Oscar, and I still think she's underrated. I think she's underrated.
Same.
I love somebody that is that fucking talented, but is just so down to earth and cool that you're like, she could easily be in this table. Like, having a conversation.
She's drunk at every single award she's ever had, and it's fucking amazing. I love her so much. And I got sucked into starting The Crown over again because of all of the trailers for season four, where I'm like, look, I got to get in on this Margaret Thatcher Princess Di shit. I got to
catch up.
So good.
I didn't watch
last
season.
First of all, she looks dead on like Diana. Like,
she does.
So
and
much.
Her voice.
Dude, I saw the pictures. I was like, Jesus
and her
Christ.
She's got the voice and she's got like the head tilt down the way Diana would kind of talk from underneath, especially in
those
the beginning.
Fringe, yeah.
From like
under the bangs,
she's got it down.
I believe it'd be fringe if you're British, because bangs is not it.
The fashion is unbelievable, and there's this scene of her roller skating in Buckingham Palace to Girls on Film.
Yeah,
and it's just so good. Okay. It's so good.
I have
Who
to say,
who plays her, by the way?
It's a newbie. Her name's Emma Corwin or Corbin.
Is she American?
I don't know.
Because I'm seriously sick of these Brits taking our fucking jobs.
They're taking our jobs. But also, like, Gillian Anderson, another person who flawless.
Yeah.
But
somebody literally tweeted and was like, how dare you for making me think Margaret Thatcher is hot.
Oh, it's Pizu.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, her friend was like, I was like,
I can already tell in the trailer that the character work she has put in for Margaret Thatcher, the voice on that show is because Claire Foy sounds exactly like Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. That
fucking
clipped,
exactly.
Posh accent. Yeah. Oh,
got it. It's great. And I did also start Queen's Gambit.
Also great. Also beautiful. Like, there's something about, I think, these shows hit harder during quarantine because they're so visually stunning.
I need an escape.
And we're stuck in our one bedroom apartments.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
Looking at the same
four
are walls.
Different colors of gray and
Did
beige.
You say fur balls?
Same four walls.
Oh. Or same fur balls. I was like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do have a cat.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, it is an escapism. It's something that's beautiful to watch. It's well acted. It's really good.
It is.
Recommend.
Oh,
all right, gotta catch up.
I also want to say, I joined this book exchange. I saw it on my Instagram.
I've done that before. It's fun.
And so I reposted it on my Instagram. I joined it 6 days ago. I have gotten 7 books.
Holy
shut
shit.
Up.
Yes. People
can I get
have
in on
me
that?
7 books.
Damn.
I'll send you the thing. You can put it in your you put it in your like Instagram stories or whatever, yeah, and then the next person passes it on and passes it on. And so I sent a book to someone. And
I love the idea of giving somebody like a paper book.
Yeah, it means I really need to get on top of my shit and start reading, because I have a lot of books to get through. But it is so,
for our next Patreon, we'll have a book club meeting.
Oh, that would be cool. But like, it is so cool to just see what other people like. What their favorite book is or what spoke to them, I think is like super cool to pass that on to someone else. And Kelly from Boobies and Newbies did it as well. So I can't wait to hear what books she gets. But yeah, it's really cool.
Fun.
Oh, are you still watching Riviera?
So I'm beyond caught up on Riviera.
Because I was like, I literally was editing the episode and I was just laughing so hard. I was like crying because it was legitimately the most passionate.
Listen, I have two things that you passionately must watch. It's Bosch.
Yes.
And Riviera.
Which our friend is going to be on Bosch soon.
I am fucking stoked.
He told me that our friend, I don't want to like reveal his name on the podcast because he's very superstitious about like sharing too much and then if the scene gets cut or whatever.
Right.
But when he told me that he was going to be on Bosch, I was like, Cassie is going to lose her mind.
Yeah. I swear to fucking God, I swear to you guys, fuck Riviera if you want. It's super good and it's your loss. But if you don't fucking watch Bosch, I swear to God.
I'm actually kind of scared of you. She's going to go full on Olga on us if we don't watch Bosch
soon. Oh my God. Check your house for pigeons.
Right. You know? But what I have done, so I have two things. One, I am desperate for games. You know how much I love game nights. So I'm like, Chris never plays Scrabble with me because I fucking will
destroy him.
Yeah, it's El Destructo. It's real bad. He fucking will not play Scrabble with me at all.
Anthony has games like that with me. Yeah. It's annoying.
So it's like, it's really hard to come down to like a couple like two-person games. So we got backgammon. And we, I played backgammon fucking years and years ago. It's been so long, I didn't even know the rules anymore. So we learned backgammon. And so we have a backgammon board that we're playing backgammon, which is fun. And what I'm watching, I actually just finished, I have to look at the name of it because I can't remember because it's not The Vow. It is
Seduced.
Seduced.
Okay.
I just watched Seduced. And
I've heard that's better than The Vow.
It's better too.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Woo. Wee wow. It is 1,000 times better than The Vow and half the time. And it is.
See, that's what I wanted. Yoinks. I was so disappointed by The Vow.
Yoinks.
Like, it feels too long.
Yeah. It is too long. And it's drawn out for drawn out's sake. Like,
and I've heard there's a second title. Dudes.
I can't. It's too much. But it's succinct. It's simple. It is absolutely. And honestly, it is the reason I even know about NXIVM is because of this India, because of her. Like, I know this because her mom and, you know, her mom coming out. And it is really good. They did
what's that on?
Whoa. It's on Stars.
Stars. Okay.
No, Showtime.
It's one of those.
One of those.
Showtime.
Yeah.
It's on Showtime. I can log you in.
Okay.
No worries. It is worth the watch. It awesome. Is. I literally.
There's a whole bunch of. New,
I was the
true
meme
crime.
With the girl touching her head and just making the O face. You know what I mean? You know that. Mm-hmm. You know that GIF where she's just like, I swear to you, I was like, the fuck.
Yeah, because I feel like when I was watching The Vow, I only watched the first two episodes, but I feel like, you know, when they talked about this in the Daily Zeitgeist, and I was like, that's spot on, that it was people who were trying to get ahead of being associated, right? Like, a lot of the people who were on there are like, I want to do this documentary because this shit is all going to come out, and I don't want people thinking bad about me, so I'm going to, like, protect myself.
I also listened to that Daily Zeitgeist, and can I say that I don't not feel that way about her doing it?
About who?
India doing it as well.
Oh, well, I don't know because I haven't seen Seduced yet.
I don't know. And I'm only speaking to the Daily Zeitgeist conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is like me speaking to that. I feel like anybody that's coming out with a documentary right now is like, oh my God, I can't believe how fucking into
and
this
I don't,
is. You
I,
know,
I
like,
also
it,
don't want to take
I'm
it,
not going to not say that that's not what's right. happening here either.
I also don't want to take it for granted that that is the nature of cults. And like, maybe you were brainwashed.
Listen.
Like, you know,
I just listened to fucking Jonestown on Dateline. That shit was like, I forgot. You like, you think you know about cults, and then you hear about Jonestown, and what, like 900 fucking
Jonestown
people?
Is the cult I would have joined. Like, I know it is. Like, everything heard or
socialist.
Seen, I would have joined.
Yeah, he was about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have. If they'd come to my town and they would have been like, look, we want to have this rainbow coalition of equality where we all get together and like support each other and like make food
like
for each other.
900 fucking people.
I would have joined that in a fucking second. So, I mean, look, I'm not above anybody else.
Yeah.
I get how it works.
Let's
just
watch out for each other, guys.
Exactly.
Let's just make sure that we don't end up in a cult.
Don't
go
to any corporate retreats.
Especially if they make you wear a sash.
Okay.
This shit's weird and I'm not on board.
No, call your dad. Exactly. Mm. If you have programs that we should watch, if you've got stories to tell, like holiday stories, quarantine dating stories, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And lastly, stay safe this holiday season because we do love you so much. So we love you so much. Cheers.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.